Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today we have a special guest with us, an expert on gold and silver and a lot of other things, so I'm sure you'll have a good time watching this program. Her name is Daniela Cambona, and she's been with Kitco for a long time, but she is now with Stansberry, a company that I also work with. But she interviewed me too long ago, and now we're reciprocating because we had a fantastic response before, and her expertise is in the metals and finances. She's been involved in a long time ago. She very young, but you know, she was with Kitco and a very important job on the gold and silver matters all the way back to 2008. And after she had been in Rome as a financial type of reporter for 5 years. So she's had a lot of experience. She has a lot of interest. And now for several months, she's been with Stansberry. Daniela, welcome to the program today.
Dr. Paul, it's an honor. It's fun to be on the other side of the conversation today. So our friendship has really come full circle, I would say.
Right, and I can remember over the years, I never knew when. I can remember one time, you know, they were wondering whether I was going on there to sell something or something like that. Totally unnecessary, because all we wanted to talk about was the issue in the markets and what Absolutely. Was going on. And of course, I've been interested in the markets as you have, maybe not for exactly the same reason, because markets tell us a whole lot. Interest rates tell us a whole lot. And I don't know exactly how you label yourself in economics, but I know you have to be very, very sympathetic to free market economics. And through our many interviews, I never saw any times where you were hostile or negative about Austrian economics, which is to me the real free markets that we need to talk about. And also something that a lot of people don't know about. I have found in Washington that most people haven't been exposed to what you have exposing the people to, because it's always, to me, a variation of government intervention and government planning. Not pure Keynesianism, but variations of Keynesianism. Some people like gold a little bit, and some people like gold a whole lot. But Daniela, tell us a little bit how your career has gone. I'm always fascinated by when people got involved, when you discovered there was an important event, and what did that, and why. And I would think first, you're identified with gold and silver and the precious metals. When did you get fascinated with this, and was there any one single event or person that got you involved?
Yeah, well, thank you for that question. And it's a very good one, because when I, you know, graduated from journalism many years ago, I never thought I would be working as a financial reporter. I always thought I would be covering more politics. So I never thought I'd be going into business journalism. But out of journalism school, one of the first gigs I was offered was to be a reporter in Montreal, where I was living at the time, for a magazine called Magazine Finance. It was a French paper that came with La Presse, which is a newspaper here in Montreal. And I was covering the insurance and banking sector in Canada. And I fell in love with business journalism. I then moved to Rome and was covering business and politics there. And when I came back to North America after I had my fill of Europe, Kitco called me, and they were looking to start some sort of media department. There was no Kitco News at the time. And I remember going in for the interview and being asked, well, what do you know about gold? And I was honest, and I said, well, to be honest, nothing. I didn't even know how it was priced, Dr. Paul. I knew nothing about gold. And they said, well, are you willing to learn? And I said, absolutely. This is why I went into journalism, because you have to be prepared to cover a variety of topics. And you just never know what it will be. I never thought it would be gold. But I had some mentors at the time that I learned and are still mentors to me today that taught me really everything I know about the industry. But I'm still learning every day. I mean, I've been covering gold now for 12 years, but it's been a long road. And I remember another thing they told me. They said, the crowd that follows gold is very particular. Like, are you prepared? And I could have never understood that statement at the time. Now I do. You know, gold is such a niche market, and working, you know, now I work on Wall Street, and I always still get a lot of negative reactions, like, oh, you cover gold. I mean, there's still not this acceptance of gold. But on the other side of the equation, there are a group of people, and it's a lot of people globally. I mean, Kitco has 1 million unique viewers per day on their site. So there's a lot of people who love gold. And it is almost like a religion to them. They love their gold.
Well, there's been a challenge a little bit in more recent years. And tell me about that, when you discovered or started hearing about and you had to do some reporting and interviews on the cryptocurrencies.
The cryptocurrencies, you know, and I remember the first time I heard about Bitcoin. I was at a show called Freedom Fest that happened in Las Vegas many years ago. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this Bitcoin? And I was so reluctant to cover it. And I can't believe how far we've come. And what I'm hearing from a lot of sources, especially bullion dealers, is we're now seeing people, you know, cash out of gold and want to buy Bitcoin, which is not something I advise, but that we're seeing this momentum. I mean, there's, you know, look at the price action that we're seeing in Bitcoin. Everyone wants in on that. So we are seeing a transfer of funds, especially out of gold ETFs, moving into the Bitcoin ETFs here.
You know, when you get in a business like this as reporters or investors or financial people, they're always fascinated. I'm fascinated with charts, you know, how you look at these charts and what they're predicting and which way are they going. And it's a fascinating game. But if you look at, let's say somebody looks at the Bitcoin chart, just at the chart, but doesn't have a whole lot of background, hasn't been biased one way or the other. They just sort of pop on the scene and they say, well, there's gold over here, and you know about gold. Gold's been around for a few years. And this Bitcoin coming in, this is different. And they present this chart to somebody, and suppose they presented that chart to you without any of your knowledge about gold and silver and how it came about. What is the reaction of a person? I know that's impossible to imagine, because it for some people it has just popped up. But I would like to get an opinion, if you can do it, is just looking at the chart. What does the chart mean to you? Because I'm sure you have looked at a lot of charts.
Yes, and I just actually finished filming a very comprehensive, in-depth interview on Bitcoin that'll be airing later today on Stansberry Research. That's a really good question, and I don't want to offend anyone in the crypto space. I really try and remain neutral here. I know a lot of people see me coming from the gold world. I do come from the gold world, but I do believe there's a place in a portfolio for both Bitcoin and gold. That said, when I look at the chart, it scares me. It scares me because the history of Bitcoin is still too short for me. And that's why I personally right now still see Bitcoin as a speculative play. Do I think that you can make a lot of money? Yes, possibly you can. But for example, as I was telling you, Dr. Paul, I had twins this year. They received gifts in cash from multiple family members. And when I was looking at where to invest that money for them, for me, it's still gold, because gold has that history, that track record. And I know, you know, 30, 40 years from now, whenever they'll need that money, 20 years from now, I feel more comfortable with it as a store of wealth and value compared to Bitcoin. I would speculate and invest maybe some and see what it would do for them with Bitcoin. But that chart right now scares me. I mean, look at the crash that Bitcoin experienced in 2018. That is a reality people have to accept. That correction can happen again. Yes, we have JP Morgan coming out saying Bitcoin is headed above 100,000. I wouldn't be surprised if Bitcoin were to go north of 100,000. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we were to have a 50% correction overnight here. That's the type of chart I see with Bitcoin.
Boy. Yeah, that's a wild.
And I know
chart.
A lot of Bitcoin people are not going to be happy to hear me say that. And again, I'm not saying, you know, don't invest in Bitcoin, but you have to. It's kind of like I kind of see it more similar to silver, is that it has a lot more volatility than we've seen with gold.
Right. And you know, I answer that question or ask that question a lot about gold and silver and Bitcoin and are you a Bitcoin buff and this sort of thing. And you know, I have a bit of ambivalence there too because I know more about gold. Gold's been around a lot longer. There's a longer history of it. And yet there's something going on special that a lot of people are getting involved with it. It's not the nickel and dime people. There's some very, very wealthy people. And you say, hey, these guys are wealthy and know something about finance, and they're putting billions of dollars into this. So you get to think, well,
for sure.
You know, you get sort of stuck in the middle. But the way I get to explain this to myself and to others is that in Congress, I was a strong supporter of competing currencies. You know, I want to reduce the power and scope of the Federal Reserve. And therefore, you want competition. If you want competition, people should be able to use a basket of currencies, a basket of commodities and what these are. So there should be no laws and restrictions against somebody using cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. But I always have one admonition about that is, yes, you can use anything you want, but you cannot flip over and get involved in fraud. Then you become like the Federal Reserve. That's why we have such trouble, you know, with the dollar. There's too much fraud going on.
I definitely think Bitcoin has, you know, so many positives. First of all, it has definitely created a revolution. It is a protest against the U.S. dollar and other currencies. It is giving power back to the people. And I believe, you know, and this is just my personal, you know, theory, is that the pandemic has caused a lot of people to have more time and reflect about their money, you know, at home. And they're looking for alternative places to invest. They want an alternative to the U.S. dollar, and Bitcoin is providing that. You know, going back to the point about gold is I think what a lot of people get wrong about gold is they want to get wealthy off of gold. And I say, don't look at gold as a means to get wealthy, but look at it as a means to preserve your wealth. And that's how I see gold. Whereas Bitcoin, I do think, provides an opportunity where had you invested, you know, $20,000 2 weeks ago, you'd have a lot more money today. But again, that comes with a huge risk, huge volatility. And I think those are the two main differences between Bitcoin and gold as a store of value.
See, I think people should be cautious about depending on cryptocurrency being anonymous and therefore safe, and nobody's going to know what's going on. I think that's really a daydream, because as much as we who do a lot more work in gold say, well, this is real independence. One of my litmus tests is, well, if you get stuck in Vietnam and you can't get out and you're desperate, you're going to get out with gold easier than anything else. When push comes to shove, that's what is really going to be helpful. And the Bitcoin, you know, should be absolutely legal. The fraud has to be canceled. And one thing is when gold, because they say gold can't avoid that either. Just think, the first thing that the Roosevelt government did in 1933 was confiscate gold, and we couldn't own gold until 1975. And so, and they manipulate prices all the time because gold reflects the dollar. And you already mentioned, you know, the importance of the dollar. And if they affect and manipulate gold, like fixing gold at $35 an ounce for 30 years, I mean, that's fictitious. So my point is, the government gets involved with even that so-called perfect money, gold, probably as much as anything else, because it is so important. So I don't think there's going to be any hesitation to know, for the government and the Federal Reserve, to know exactly what's going on with all the cryptocurrencies.
I agree with that. And we're also seeing, look, central banks, you know, in the past we had spoken about, would we see a return to a gold standard, where I don't think that is the future. I do think that central banks, and it's going to happen soon, will be rolling out digital currencies. China's already testing out their own version of their digital currency. The euro will be rolling out a version of their digital currency. So I think that is the revolution we're going to be seeing. And I think there's a danger there in the sense that governments will have a lot more control over people's money and how they spend their money. So we will have a lot less, you know, there's going to be a lot more government intervention, unfortunately, I think is also in the future with these digital currencies right. that people are aware about.
Danielle, I know you've thought about and you've interviewed people and talked about silver. Silver, is, as much as I've talked about gold and the gold standard and monetary affairs, I always had a great deal of sympathy for silver. I think silver is beautiful, but gold is beautiful too. But silver has really been doing well in a financial sense this past year, even though in the past history, even back to the 70s, when you had these panics into silver, we saw it up to $50 twice, but that wasn't real. That was spontaneous and overreaction. But it seems to me like the movement right now is more solid and moving in a certain direction. And silver, if you're looking for a money that is useful, which is one of Mises's requirement that the money be useful elsewhere, and silver is. And is it not true that silver might become more useful in manufacturing and developments like electronics, these kind of things?
I believe these next few decades up until 2050 really could be the years for silver. And I couldn't be happier for silver investors who have felt pain for so long. But, you know, as you know, the past year, 2020, was the best year that gold and silver had seen since 2010. Now, yes, you know, I think silver provides a really interesting investing idea and strategy here, because we're still, as you said, halfway away from silver's all-time high of $50. Now it looks like there's a real case for silver. In this past, maybe we spoke about it like, oh, we need silver for solar panels, we need silver for cameras, et cetera, et cetera. But now with the Green New Deal and serious talk about it, we will need a serious amount of silver. The U.S. is looking to go to zero net emissions by 2050. We need a tremendous amount of solar panels to achieve that goal. And right now, the silver supply, which is about 2,200 tons a year, is not enough to meet that demand. So silver is proving to be, could be extremely attractive here, Dr. Paul. And the price point, you know, compared to gold and especially Bitcoin, is interesting to especially young investors who want to kind of dip their feet into the precious metals market for the first time. You know, I think the other interesting discussion around that, or the feedback I get, is, well, mining is such a dirty industry. So, you know, the silver that we need to extract, we're going to like ruin this land to basically help the environment in another way. But mining has come a long way. I think there's still a reputation that it's still very dirty, and it is in certain parts of the world. But I think in North America, Mexico, we've come a long way. ESG is really a primary focus of the mining industry. So I'm proud of the strides that mining has made. And I really think there may be a huge silver lining, no pun intended, for silver investors, like I said, in the coming decade here.
You know, the one test that's been around for throughout history is that when a so-called government currency becomes less valuable, that it becomes worth more if you just take it and melt it and take your gold, because they haven't kept up. They've inflated and destroyed the value of the currency they're working with. And that was true with gold. Gold certainly isn't $35 an ounce. And then in silver, we remember in the 70s when silver hit $1.29. That's a long time ago, theoretically speaking. But I'll tell you what, I remember LBJ when he was putting out Kennedy half dollars that were still silver. And he was determined. They were just disappearing and disappearing. And he didn't have a clue. He says, I am going to mint so many silver dollars, they will never disappear. And he kept doing it. So I'll bet you there's a lot of silver Kennedy half dollars out there. But once again, it paid to melt them. But there's another date that I found fascinating. And I knew we were getting into big trouble in the early 80s, that we couldn't even maintain a copper standard. Everybody was taking the copper pennies, and we can't even afford, you know, to make a penny out of copper, which just is a, you know, an indication of the inflation and the destruction of the value of the dollar. So that to me, and I wanted to, can you make a comment about copper? It's moving a little bit. It's never going to be money again, and we know that, but it might be a reflection. You know, it used to be only a reflection. The recession is ending, copper's moving up, the builders are buying copper, so we're out of the recession. Or it could just be a reflection of inflation, a basic inflationary result of the printing of money, and the commodity prices are going up.
I think it's more the latter, if I would have to take an educated guess there, Dr. Paul. I know a lot of people are hoping for a huge copper rally here in 2021, but most of the experts I spoke to, especially, I just spoke to an analyst at Wells Fargo that I respect tremendously, said, look, 2020 was really the best year for copper. I don't know if 2021 will really be the breakout star. If people are looking for other alternatives, I think platinum and palladium, we're seeing a huge supply crunch with these two metals that I would probably consider investing over copper in right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, this has been fascinating. I want to give you a chance to explain a little bit where people can find you and keep up with what you're doing. But I know our viewers will be very happy with this interview. So, Daniela, just go ahead and tell us a little bit about the details, where you are now, what you're doing, you know, with Stansberry, and how they can follow what you put out there in the interviews you do.
Thank you, Dr. Paul, for that platform. So I am with Stansberry Research now. I started a few months ago. I'm loving my journey here. I know I've been typecast as the gold girl. I always say it's like Jennifer Aniston, who's been typecast and, you know, she can't break out of the Friends mold. But I do cover things outside of gold. I like to cover all aspects of the economy, and Stansberry is allowing me to do that. And I film daily interviews that people can watch on our YouTube channel at Stansberry Research. They can follow me at Daniela Combone. But we're on all social media platforms. You can follow Stansberry Research on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. But like I said, our YouTube channel is really the best place to get our footage. We just had Dr. Paul on. And I always like to say, you know, my career really kicked off with Dr. Paul, since he gave me the scoop that he was looking to audit the Fed back in 2010. And I'll never forget, I was just a young reporter at the time starting off my career, but that really helped put me on the map. And I'll always be grateful to you, Dr. Paul, for giving me that chance. It changed my career path.
Wonderful. And it's wonderful having you on today. And I'm sure our viewers are going to say they've enjoyed it very much. But Daniela, very thankful that you came on, and stick to it. Stick to the gold, the silver, and take a look at crypto.
Absolutely.
We're open-minded on that. And, you know, my caveat is no cheating, no cheating. The government taught us all about cheating with money, and we don't want any private money cheating.
Well, thank you for educating myself, Dr. Paul, and for the millions of viewers. I just want to say Happy New Year, and it's been an honor to be on your show today.
Thank you. And I want to thank our viewers today for tuning in, and please come back to the Liberty Report soon.